have already invited Mr. Trump to Europe for an urgent US-EU summit. The president of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, said the vote is a protest vote similar to Brexit. The Secretary General of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, said he is looking forward to working with Trump and the US leadership. UK Prime Minister Theresa May, in her congratulatory message, said Britain and the US have an enduring and special relationship based on the values of freedom, democracy, and enterprise, adding both countries are and will remain strong and close partners on trade, security, and defense. French President Francois Hollande, who had earlier openly endorsed Mrs. Clinton, said Mr. Trump's win opens up a period of uncertainty that must be faced with lucidity and clarity. President Hollande congratulated Trump as is natural between two heads of state, but showed little enthusiasm, noting that some positions taken by the president-elect during the American campaign must be confronted with the values and interests both countries share. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said a partnership with the USA remains a basic pillar of the German foreign policy and offered Mr. Trump a close working relationship. That was some congratulatory messages pouring in for US President-elect Donald Trump.
President Barack Obama has congratulated his successor, Donald Trump, for his historic victory in the U.S. presidential race, promising to ensure a peaceful transition of power. Addressing journalists and staff at the White House, Mr. Obama said, although Democrats and Republicans have their differences, it is now time to put Americans first. President Obama has invited Mr. Trump for talks at the White House today, hinging on a smooth transition of power. In Mr. Obama's words, a peaceful transition is the hallmark of America's democracy. Mr. Obama told voters who are disappointed with the U.S. election results, especially the youth, not to lose hope, but work even harder.
But to the young people who got into politics for the first time and may be disappointed by the results, I just want you to know you have to stay encouraged. Don't get cynical. Don't ever think you can't make a difference. Sometimes you lose an argument. Sometimes you lose an election. Sometimes we move in ways that some people think is forward and others think is moving back. And that's okay. I've lost elections before. That's the way politics works sometimes. We try really hard to persuade people that we're right. And then people vote. And then if we lose, we learn from our mistakes. We do some reflection, we lick our wounds, we brush ourselves off, we get back in the arena.
President Barack Obama also congratulated defeated presidential hopeful Mrs. Clinton, acknowledging her immense contribution to public service. New York businessman Donald Trump is the first president elected to the White House without a government experience.
Hours after Donald Trump's victory became clear, hundreds of thousands of Americans took to social media to urge the current First Lady Michelle Obama to run for president in 2020. Some tweets were reported as saying the new twist is rather a perfect condition for Michelle to win the 2020 elections. Mrs. Obama is a popular figure in America's political landscape.
Senior Republican and Democratic politicians in the U.S. have appealed for unity after a bitter election campaign. Meanwhile, demonstrators have taken to the streets of several American cities to protest against the election of Donald Trump as the next president. Thousands of people gathered outside the Trump Tower in New York, voicing their opposition to Mr. Trump's policies on gay rights, immigration, and reproductive rights.
The election of Donald Trump as the new U.S. president dominated sessions and meetings at the ongoing climate event COP22 in Marrakech, Morocco. Most delegates were disappointed at the results of the election, fearing that Trump's administration will send the climate change negotiations back. We bring you Joyce Jechi's report.
Delegates at Bab Igli, the venue of COP22 in Marrakech, Morocco, gathered in groups discussing the election of Donald Trump as the new U.S. president. For those at COP22, it is about the future of the world, which the weather phenomenon threatens. But Donald Trump believes it is a hoax invented by the Chinese. At the news briefing in Marrakesh by civil society organizations, Celia Goita of Cannes, France, said it took more than 20 years to arrive at the Paris Agreement and one president cannot derail it. She said politics cannot change the minds of those affected by the effect of the climate change, and the result of the US election is even going to spur civil society on. Catherine Abreu of CANRAC, Canada, said the climate movement is a people's movement and the election in one country cannot take it back, since people living with the effect of the issue can no longer live with the injustice. All questions centered on Trump's election and whether it will affect negotiations in Marrakesh. David Vaskov of the World Resource Institute assured the gathering that those at the negotiations are from the Obama administration and will continue with their agenda. Just after the news conference, flyers started going round from CSOs reacting to fears of Trump's views on climate change.
That report was sent by Joyce Jichi from Marrakesh.
Seven presidential candidates now know their positions on the ballot paper. The Electoral Commission conducted the ballot yesterday.
The atmosphere generally was peaceful before, during, and after balloting for the position on the ballot paper. Before the balloting, the chairperson, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, announced the political parties and independent candidates who will not contest this year's presidential election.
The following nominations were not accepted by the commission because they do not comply with Regulation 2 of CI 94. Either the number of subscribers were not as required by law, or the subscribers were not valid voters, or the forms were not complete. The candidates are Dr. Ejeni Wating of the UFP, Mr. Tien Wadru of the DPP, Madame Ekua Donkor of the GFP, Mr. Kofi Akpaloo of the IPP, Mr. Richard Nixon Tete of the UDSP, Mr. Hassan Ayariga of the APC, Dr. Henry Herbert Latte of the GCPP, and Mr. Albert Fami Asidu Walker, an independent candidate.
Representatives of the seven qualified candidates told Radio Ghana they were satisfied with their positions on the ballot paper. Kobna Bonfair of the CPP was first to speak.
It is part of the deepening of our democratic process, and we believe that once this balloting has been done, now we are prepared for December 7th, and at the end of the day, Ghanaians would elect, as it has been providentially given, Convention People's Party, the Akoko Party, the most sincere, fruitful, forward-looking party with Ivo Kovnai Green Street, to come and govern Ghana and make Ghana work again for Ghanaians.
Mohamed Frimpong of the NDP.
We are satisfied. As usual, the good Lord has put us in the bracket of the best. We are number two on the ballot paper. And so far, we are satisfied.
Murtala Mohammed of the PPP.
The focus of this year's election is in the middle. NDC is number 3. PPP is number 4. NPP is number 5. It means that it's easier for us to tell our people to watch in the middle.
And Mark Menu of the NPP.
Salifu Danver brought us that report from the EC headquarters.
The National Democratic Congress has launched its campaign app, dubbed Votes GM 2016 in Accra. The app seeks to deepen participatory democracy and inclusiveness. It will also serve as a credible and reliable reference point for party activities and any national development program. A report by Gloria Afuti.
The NDC has gone a step further in its campaign strategy to win the 2016 election. The Vote JN 2016 app is deployed on both Android and Apple ISO platforms. It will afford members and sympathizers using smartphones to access timely information on the campaign and other information related to the party. In a speech, Deputy Minister of Transport Joyce Bawa Mukhtari said the apps will help supporters, sympathizers and the general public to keep track of developments within the party and updates on the electoral process.
Largely persons who cannot follow us to rallies, who cannot be part of the engagements that we are having, who cannot be part of every program that we organize. So what we expect is that once we have this app, people can download it and people can engage, people can follow the president, people can follow the parliamentary candidates. Of course, we can also put out information regarding matters pertaining to the good people of Ghana. What we look for in this app really is that we expect that we want, for example, to have photos, a video gallery. We would expect that all of these things will be supported one way or the other with pictures of H.G. President John Mahama's activities as he goes along. Indeed, in the run-up to December 7th, there will be quite a number of activities going on. Several projects will be commissioned and inaugurated. Of course, we also would like to follow up on our electoral process. there have been some new changes to the party by the good people of Ghana to follow up on as well. And of course, we will be putting out our own version in terms of what's happening with the Electoral Commission and what have you. And I do hope that this app will actually have all this information that will be of interest to the good people of Ghana.
The app has already registered 10,000 downloads prior to its launch. That report was by Gloria Afuti.
We're still doing more political stories. The Ghana Union Traders Association has decried the high rate of duty at the ports of entry. The president of GUTA, George Ofori, said this when the flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, conferred on the leadership of the association at his headquarters in Accra. The meeting was to sell the party's policy on trade to the association, which the NPP considers vital in the management of the economy.
Has to do with it. High rate of duties which is being paid at the various ports of entry. When you do a cumulative analysis, you get about 55%, and this shows clearly that if you import and you import about $100,000, it's $55,000. That is for duty alone. Nana and your team, don't forget about the exchange rate, the interest rate, inflation, which is about 17.5%. Now you're talking about interest rate of 33%. When you add your processing fees, because when you go in for the facility, it's not all about the loan. The processing fees of about 2%, adding it to 33%, you are getting about 35%. So it means, in effect, the business community, i.e. the private sector, is working for the various commercial banks. And sometimes it was saddening to note that if the Bank of Ghana comes out with a policy rate of 26%, then they will be clapping for themselves, forgetting that even with the 26% policy rate, as compared to the Western, the Eastern Tigers, that the European market interest rate, you are talking about maximum 0.15% around those areas. But in our situation, you're talking about 35%. So how can the trader, how can a businessman work with such a facility and then it break even?
Mr. Ofori expressed regret about the influx of foreigners on the retail business. He said the practice is unacceptable and it is killing indigenous businesses. GUTA also raised issues with high electricity tariffs and fuel.
A businessman has been relegated to the background. We have been paid class citizens in terms of our business operations in this country, and that must not be allowed. We are not going to entertain that. We are saying this because we have fought on this issue on numerous occasions with government upon government, but it seems that there is not a light at the end of the tunnel, which of course must be looked at. GUTA, and for that matter, the private sector is not against foreign direct investment. Not at all, but we expect investment that will yield good results for Ghana and for Ghanaians. I'm saying this because the moment you mention about foreign direct investment, there are two things that comes into play. One has to do with capital injection into one's economy. The second one has to do with transfer of technology. And so if we are talking about transfer of technology, does buying and selling, which Ghanaians are professional themselves, constitute technology transfer? Absolutely no.
Nana Akufo-Addo promised to restore dignity to the economy.
We are caught in many contradictions in Ghana at a time in the world when we have witnessed the most dramatic reduction in crude oil prices in modern history. It is a time when our own petroleum product prices have reached their highest level. The reason is not that the government is not telling the truth to the Ghanaian people in the operating of the automatic price adjustment formula, but rather because of its inefficiency. It is the mismanagement of the national economy, the inability to provide a stable macroeconomic framework, a weak current. That is the reason why, instead of taking the benefit of the crude oil price adjustment formula in terms of the reduced crude oil price, on the contrary, our internal prices are going up. Because the currency is weak, we're not in a position to take advantage of the fall in prices. And there it is, the situation that we are in, that with the weak currency, it started weakening again, predictably. Your lives are immeasurably complicated. Everything is also complicated for the rest. So there is a premium on the efficient management of the national economy. It isn't just work. We have a situation where the economy is being managed well. It does automatically certain things. You'll see interest rates will come down. Rate of inflation will come down. You'll have a more stable and more powerful currency. And the knock-on effects of all of those things for business growth and development, it's obvious what happened. So there is a premium on it. And it's a premium, I'm hoping, all of us will remember when the 7th of December occurs.
Well, the flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, former Trade Minister Alan Chiamatin, said the NPP will restore fiscal discipline in the macroeconomy.
We'll be doing three things, not just with the debt, in terms of our approach to the economy. Three fundamental strategies. One is fiscal discipline, two, monetary discipline, and three, financial sustainability or financial stability. So you'll find that with the fiscal discipline, we are not going to spend when we know we do not have the money. And some people don't understand how a high debt level impacts on business. Because if, number one, the government is borrowing, has a large appetite for borrowing, and where would you borrow from? You borrow from the domestic market. You are actually crowding out the private sector from getting access to finance. And so when we talk about fiscal discipline, we'll make sure that we reduce the appetite of government for borrowing, particularly domestic borrowing. And then the banks will have no choice but to start chasing after you, like they did when we were in there. It is not magic. People don't understand that during the NPP government, when the banks were chasing you with money, it was not happening by chance. It was engineered as a result of our economic policy.
You just said former Trade Minister Alan Chiamatin.
A leading member of the NPP, Professor Michael Kwee, says if the youth want to put an end to the rising unemployment rate, they have an option to do so by voting for the NPP come December 7. This is because the party has a track record when it comes to job creation in Ghana. He asked the electorate to ignore statements by the NDC that the NPP is anti-voter. Professor Kwee was speaking at a rally in the Turubu constituency at Mile 7 in Accra. We bring you Godwin Alariwe's report.
The rally was organized to canvass for votes in the Turubu constituency for the flag bearer of the NPP, Nana Akufo-Addo, and to formally introduce Moses Enim, the parliamentary candidate, a former second deputy speaker of parliament and leading member of the party. Professor Michael Kwee, who spoke on behalf of Nanado, explained that it is not true that the party is hostile to people from the voter region. Moses Enim, the candidate for the NPP in the Turubu constituency, appealed to supporters to sell the good message of the NPP and urged them to come out in their numbers to vote for the party to ensure victory in the December polls. A sympathizer of the party, Bugri Mohammed, asked supporters of the party to gear up for victory come December 7th, since he and his members across the country are going all out to make sure Nanado wins this year's election.
Godwin Alariwe's report.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories. EC chairperson briefs media on current state of election 2016 this morning. Seven presidential candidates to appear on next month's ballot. More congratulatory messages for President-elect Donald Trump and President Obama to hold talks at Oval Office today amidst anti-Trump protests in cities across U.S.
The Minister of Education, Professor Jinana Opokuagyeman, says skills and technology training are critical to industrial development. It provides the foundation for the sustenance of any industrial revolution by empowering middle-level manpower for increased quality productivity in the productive sectors of the economy. Professor Opokuagyeman was speaking at the opening of a three-day skills and technology fair at the Trade Fair Center in Accra. Rita Nyako has more.
The 50 exhibitors are companies that had funding from the Skills Development Fund under the Ghana Skills and Technology Development Project to either start or expand their businesses. The Skills Development Fund is an initiative of government with funding from the World Bank and DANIDA and implemented by the Council for Technical and Vocational Education and Training. Madame Opokuagyeman noted that the project was instituted to provide funding to address the critical skills and technology deficits within the productive sectors of the economy. The World Bank stepped in with a credit facility of $70 million, with DANIDA providing $18.5 million to support the project. She stated that the Skills Development Fund support of $51.9 million to 646 businesses has led to the creation of 13,300 direct jobs and a 60% increase in productivity of the beneficiary businesses.
The program provides learning jobs for the medium personnel of the industrial action that empower all levels in order to reach. So I'd like us to strengthen our business a little bit.
The executive director of the Council for Technical and Vocational Education and Training, Sebastian D., said the Skills and Technology Fair was initiated in 2013 to exhibit the outcomes of government support to the skills and technology sector. It also provides a platform for collaboration, partnership building, and experience sharing amongst various stakeholders in the skills development sector.
Rita Nyako.
Now, Lacquer de Voir's Third Republic has come into being with the signing into law of a new constitution overwhelmingly adopted last month in a referendum boycotted by opposition parties. President Alassane Ouattara said in an address to the nation after signing the document at his Abidjan office that the wind of democracy is blowing again in the country.
The first of around 1,000 Kenyan soldiers have returned from South Sudan as the government made good a threat to withdraw from the UN peacekeeping mission. The first batch of 100 troops landed in Nairobi a week after Kenya said it will pull out in protest at a UN decision to fire the Kenyan commander of the mission for failing to protect civilians.
Now to end the news, the main point again. The chairperson of the Electoral Commission, Mrs. Charlotte Osei, will this morning meet with journalists to brief them on the way forward on the 2016 election. The event, which is being hosted by the Editors Forum, will take place at the Ghana International Press Center in Accra. Seven presidential candidates will appear on the ballot for the December 7 election. After yesterday's ballot, CPP placed first, NDP second, NDC third. Fourth place was PPP, fifth NPP, sixth PNC, and independent candidate Jacob Oseyewa took the seventh position. And President Barack Obama will today hold talks at the Oval Office with President-elect Donald Trump. The talks will hinge on a smooth transition of power. Meanwhile, some people have congratulated President Donald Trump for being elected. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson.
And I'm Asawa Bidiako.